What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we will be discussing something very important to me, nasal breathing. I have been on a journey the past year and a half reading as much as I can about breathing, specifically nasal versus mouth breathing. My conclusion: noses are for breathing, mouths are for eating and talking. That's why I brought our guest, Maria Donnelly, on the podcast to talk shop on this important topic. So let me introduce our special guest. Maria Donnelly was born in Rochester, New York, and raised in Rochester, and then most of her life in Canandaigua, New York. As a young child, she always knew she wanted to help people heal emotionally, coming from personal experiences. Maria spent 25 years in dentistry as a dental assistant, with the last 15 years of that as a dental practice manager and patient educator. Over the years, she completed continuing education classes and certifications in areas such as myofunctional therapy, sleep disorder breathing, orthodontics, and dental hygiene as it relates to overall functional health. She is certified in the Buteco method with Buteco Clinic International, earned a certificate in the Power of Calm, and I'm currently completing Demystifying the Airway with the Breathing Well Academy. Maria is also a member of the International Center for Breathwork and is listed as a provider with the Foundation for Airway Health. As a severe allergy and asthma sufferer, she knew all too well the issues that resulted from her inability to breathe well. She craved foods that fueled her cells because they were not getting oxygenated properly, which led to weight gain, memory fog, fatigue, fibromyalgia, and a host of other health issues over the course of 4 decades. It was not until she practiced the Buteco method herself that her asthma and allergies began to improve to the point that she was off all medications and nebulizer treatments. This led to weight loss, better moods, sleeping better, and a new passion for teaching the Buteco method to others. Maria is now able to enjoy the outdoors and hiking, and most importantly, she is experiencing a deepened oneness with God. In dentistry, she educated and helped others with their health and now gets to walk the journey with others, witness significant improvements in their health and quality of life, and help them recognize the power of your living breath. With that, I'd like to welcome to the podcast, Maria. What's going on, Maria?
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. You said something there in your statement. You said you're reading about breathing and the importance of nasal breathing and not through the mouth. And there's a statement that you said reminded me of something that I heard somebody say: you should breathe through your nose or your mouth as often as you eat through your nose.
I love that. It's the conclusion was simple for me. I mean, nasal breathing, it's simple, yet it's one of the hardest things to do and one of the hardest habits to break. But that's why I have you on to help us break that habit. So tell us what or who inspired you to get into the health and wellness field.
Ever since I was a child, I knew I wanted to be a psychologist. Just through my own emotional journey, I lost my dad at the age of 14, and just lots of, you know, familial trauma that comes from that. But I ended up in dentistry. Life has a way of sometimes taking a detour, you know. And I ended up in dentistry, fell in love with it. I loved working with the patients, seeing them get out of pain or have beautiful smiles. And I just, I enthralled in it and I decided to make it my career. But what really drove me to where I am today with the Buteco is a pediatric dentist, Dr. Linda, who really focuses on pediatric airway health, you know, children who suffer with ADD, ADHD, bedwetting beyond potty training, all of these things that, you know, most parents don't even realize are airway related. And as a patient educator, I was educating parents and patients about their airway and how important it is to breathe correctly. Meanwhile, I was still suffering with asthma and allergies, and it dawned on me I should probably practice what I preach. So I practiced the Buteyko method for myself, and that's when my asthma and my allergies completely reversed. I'm off all medications after 4 decades, and it just burst a burning fuel inside of me to say, this is what I must do for the rest of my life. Nobody should feel the way I felt. It was a game changer for me. It deepened my faith with God. And looking back, I realized that's what God created me to do, is to help people heal.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. That's powerful right there. So what exactly is the Buteyko method?
Well, really, it boils down to a few foundational things. It's breathing exclusively in and out through the nose and reducing the amount of air that we breathe. So breathing less, not more, which then allows us to function more in our parasympathetic mode, rest and digest, it calms the system. Those are the basic principles, in and out through the nose, reduced breathing. And then there's different ways that we get there.
So breathe light to breathe right, right?
Breathe light to breathe right. Absolutely. That's Patrick McEwen says that.
Patrick McEwen. Yes. Okay. So as a Buteyko practitioner, take me through a normal day with clients.
Yeah. So unlike, a physician, being a Buteyko practitioner, I get to work from home. I can see clients either in my office or even outside in a park or on Zoom. And a typical day really is very different because every client is different, their needs are different. And what we do really is determined by how they feel and what they're going through. So I always just say that it's wherever the breath takes us.
What is proper breathing, in your opinion?
That's a great question. So there's like two answers to this. Proper breathing is breathing to stay alive. And then there's functional breathing, which is breathing to thrive. Mm. And so I fall in the category of teaching people how to breathe to thrive. I used to breathe to survive. Mm-hmm. and so when I talk about functional breathing and what that looks like, most people actually think that they breathe well. When I say it's in and out through the nose, most people say, I breathe through my nose. You use your diaphragm. I use my diaphragm. But when I talk about what proper functional breathing shouldn't look like, or what dysfunctional breathing looks like, that's when people start to go, oh, maybe I do have some breathing dysfunction here that I was unaware of. So if you don't mind, I'm gonna actually just talk more about that a little bit before I talk about what functional breathing looks like.
Absolutely, I'm excited today. I got my pen and paper, I'm taking notes, I'm ready to learn. And I guess I should say, we just met literally like 5 minutes ago, but I was referred to you through my functional medicine doctor, Dr. Grover. And she's like, Matt, I found a woman who does Buteyko breathing in Rochester. You need to meet. And I was just like, let's go. Like, I need to have her on my podcast. Let's chat. So I'm really excited about today. So you kind of do your thing.
Sure. So what dysfunctional breathing looks like, or maybe even feels like, sometimes you can't really see it, but it's mouth breathing. Either some of the day or all of the day, or at night when you're sleeping. How do you know if you're mouth breathing at night? Do you drool? Do you have a dry mouth when you wake up in the morning? Do you snore? Do you inhale or take in big gasps of air when you're breathing? So a lot of us, when we speak or if we talk a lot for a living, we don't slow down and take our breath through our nose, but we'll inhale very deeply through our mouth. Do you hold your breath when you're stressed or hyper-focused on something, just really focusing on your computer? And you might think, oh, I was just holding my breath there. Why was I doing that? Does your chest rise when you inhale? Does your chest move up and down when you inhale and exhale? Or is it driven by your diaphragm? Do you get stuffy or runny noses frequently, or maybe even frequent colds? These are some ways that you can tell that you are probably functioning on dysfunctional breathing. So you're breathing to survive versus breathing to thrive. And then what functional breathing looks like is nasal only, breathing in and out through the nose. It's gentle and quiet. It's driven by the diaphragm. And then one last thing that most people kind of go, huh? But your tongue should be resting at the roof of the mouth. The tongue is designed to grow and develop your facial structure and create patent airways. Okay, so if our facial structure is too narrow because the tongue wasn't resting at the roof of the mouth, it didn't grow correctly, that makes your nasal cavity smaller and it makes it harder to breathe through your nose. So then you breathe through your mouth and then this becomes a snowball effect.
So is it as simple as saying we want to do more with less? We should be able to do more with less air coming in.
Absolutely, absolutely. The less you breathe in, the volume of air that you breathe, you're able to utilize the oxygen that's already in your blood. It's called the Bohr effect. So we have you know, our oxygen cells attached to the hemoglobin, and you need a little bit of carbon dioxide. So people think that carbon dioxide is just a waste gas and you don't need it. But you do need the carbon dioxide to release the oxygen from the hemoglobin so that it can do its job. So we do need to breathe less, not more.
So I have two young kids. I don't know if you have any kids, but that's, I feel like we should be on this early at a young age, because this is a huge issue for facial structure. Because once your face develops, I mean, it's kind of permanent there, I would guess. Maybe there's some changes we can make by treating different tight muscles, et cetera. But structurally, we want to get on this early. So how do you address that with a two-year-old who's mouth breathing or drooling at night?
So when you have a toddler, what I do is I refer to a functional dentist or a myofunctional therapist who can deal with the oral rest posture. That's the tongue resting at the roof of the mouth, and reestablishing good oral rest posture. With young children at that age, their palates and their facial structure are pretty malleable. And it can sometimes, most of the times, be adjusted kind of by itself through those therapies. Some children are tongue-tied or lip-tied, which a lot of times, unfortunately, goes undiagnosed because not many providers are fully aware of the full function of the tongue. In other words, many providers will look and see, I'll go all the way back to infancy. They'll look to see if the infant is eating and gaining weight and wetting diapers. If the answer is yes, maybe they have a tongue tie, but it's not severe enough to do anything about, right? Problem is, as they start to get older, parents might start to recognize certain things, like they're picky eaters. They spit their food out. They can't swallow. They choke easily. They gag easily. And so you start to recognize there's a tongue dysfunction there, but they don't know that's what it is. So we start putting other labels on it, sensory issues, ADD. You know, we just start putting other labels and not recognizing the root of the issue. I think one of the advantages I have in being a Buteyko practitioner is having the experience from the functional dental standpoint, because I really like to dig deep and look at, you know, where's the root of this issue and help my clients work collaboratively with other healthcare providers to really get to the reason why they have the issues that they have. We still focus on reestablishing functional breathing, but we also have to sometimes remove the barriers that exist.
So why are so many people struggling with dysfunctional breathing, in your opinion?
Well, kind of going back to what we were just discussing is that facial structure, you know, that's kind of at the root of it. And our bodies are so intelligent. I mean, you know, thank God that our bodies kind of know what to do, because it'll find a way to compensate. We just don't know we're compensating, because breathing is one of those things that you can't put your finger on it and say, this is a problem because it hurts, mm-hmm. right? If I cut myself, it hurts and I can see the cut, I'm bleeding. But if I have dysfunctional breathing, I don't feel it. I have other symptoms that have names to it. Mm-hmm. And I focus on those names, but not why I have those symptoms.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, so many people struggle with it because they don't know they have it. But what contributes to that is processed foods, sedentary lifestyles, poor oral muscle function, again, our facial structure. Those are all the reasons why we struggle.
So why is nasal breathing so important?
Well, nasal breathing is so important. As a former mouth breather, I didn't really know. I mean, again, I was breathing and I was alive. But the nose filters and warms the air that you breathe. It also naturally reduces the amount of air that you breathe. Even without practicing Buteyko, our mouth is bigger than our nostrils. So just by simply closing the mouth and breathing through the nose, you will automatically reduce the volume of air that you're breathing. It filters the air that you breathe. And it also activates nitric oxide, which is created in the paranasal sinuses. And nitric oxide is a vasodilator that increases your blood vessels, allowing for better blood flow, reducing blood pressure for people who have high blood pressure. It's an immune booster, all natural, no supplements, no vitamins. It is an immune booster. And so correct nasal breathing also activates your parasympathetic nervous system, your rest and digest. It allows us to function through this chaotic world at a more calm, relaxed state.
So why is mouth breathing negatively affecting our health and vitality?
Well, for the opposite reasons why nasal breathing is so important, but with mouth breathing, we don't filter the air that we breathe. So imagine the pollution in the air, right? And you're breathing that in, it goes straight to your lungs. Our body now has to work harder to ward off what you are breathing in. So when the body should be healing and repairing itself from just other not big things, now it's trying to figure out how to handle all this pollution and things that you're breathing in through the mouth, and your cells are not able to function well. So, you know, you're kind of pulling its attention from where it should be functioning to something else. That's the way I look at it. My cells should be doing this, and now they're doing this because I'm mouth breathing. It increases congestion in the nasal passages. So if you're not breathing through the nose, your nasal passages do become a little bit inflamed. They become congested, makes it difficult to breathe through the nose. You have stuffy nose. You may wake up in the morning with a stuffy nose if you're mouth breathing at night.
Rhinitis, they call that, right? Rhinitis?
Rhinitis. Yeah.
How many people have that?
So many people have it and just think, well, of course, you know, it's normal. Doesn't everybody, you know? And it contributes to respiratory reflux. So a lot of people suffer with acid reflux. And I can't tell you the countless people I've spoken to, they're like, yeah, I mean, I just don't understand it. I don't eat spicy foods. I don't have ulcers. I don't, you know, but I have this reflux.
Why is that? Is that because of the pH? It's acidifying things?
It does affect the pH, and it's also the amount of air that you're taking in. It opens up the sphincter that's supposed to be closed, and it keeps the acid down. You know, think of like a baby who takes in big gulps of air while they're drinking their bottle. And they get colicky and, you know, they're burping. Well, if we're breathing in big gulps of air through our mouth, same thing. So it can contribute to acid reflux. If you have acid reflux in the morning or at night while you're sleeping, could be that you're mouth breathing. And then mouth breathing, of course, also puts us in the sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight. And, you know, that keeps us anxious or unable to calm. We have memory fog, you know, just all of the things that go with that sympathetic nervous system.
So I'll share my story here briefly. I used to be a mouth breather, allergies, asthma growing up, similar kind of story. I never had a nebulizer or an inhaler. I used to borrow my mom's. I used to just borrow my mom's as needed, but it was terrible. I mean, I was an athlete, and if you can't breathe, it's scary. So, you know, we always thought it was just environmental allergies, whatever, but no one ever talked about my breathing. And I've only recently discovered this a few years ago, and holy cow, what a game changer. Converting from mouth breathing to nasal breathing, just my sleep alone. I tape my lips when I sleep. We can get into that later if you want to. And that has been a game changer. Now I tape my lips every workout and every time I go to sleep at night, and I look forward to it. And my endurance is up. My energy is up. My sleep is better. Everything has improved. Everything. My anxiety is down. I do deal with some anxiety, and that's a symptom, like what you said, of poor breathing, of mouth
Absolutely.
Breathing.
Yeah.
So I can't, I'm just so thrilled to have you on and share this, this important message that people need to hear. So let's keep going. So sure. What is your favorite breathing exercise you can share with listeners?
I like them all, but my favorite is the small breath holds. And really, this is just a very simple exercise to just kind of help reduce the breathing, calm the breathing in a moment. I use this a lot with clients who suffer with anxiety. I actually had a client, I think it was like my second session with her, start to have a panic attack. And I quickly brought her into this exercise, and within just a few rounds, she calmed down immediately and was just so like, you know, as a therapist, they tell us to just breathe big, you know, a deep breath and then exhale through the mouth. And she couldn't believe how quickly it just brought her into a calmed, relaxed state.
Now, while we're talking about that, though, I mean, there's a time and place for probably taking deep breaths, but I would argue that's a stressor on the body. That's more of a sympathetic response. Most of us have dysfunctional breathing, so we need to fix that first, and then we can maybe layer on some of this other more sympathetic-driven Wim Hof method type, you know, deep breathing. What do you think about that?
So first, we'll talk about the terms there, deep breathing versus big breathing. A deep breath really refers to the location. So deep breathing is deep in your diaphragm. And it shouldn't be big as in a big chest movement and a big, you know, inhale of air. So that's one thing that it's one of the very first things that I talk through with clients, because I'll ask them, actually show me what a deep breath looks like. And 99.9% of the time, you'll have them just take a very big breath, their chest will puff out, and then they'll exhale really hard. That's really not deep breathing. Deep breathing is location. Big breathing is what you're talking about, that, you know, big and that Wim Hof. And I think there's a time and a place for that. It does give you the way I look at it, it's like a euphoric moment, but it's definitely not how we're designed to breathe 24/7 if we want our bodies to function well for us.
Okay, so yeah, deep and big, completely different words in the breathing world. That makes sense. So let's go back. Sorry, I got excited there and asked you a different question, but let's go back to those small breath holds. What do you mean by that?
So it's just a simple exercise to, again, just calm the breathing in the moment. I tell clients, when you're experiencing a symptom, meaning anything, if you're feeling anxious about anything, or you're having a headache, or you have body aches or tension in your body, do the small breath holds and relax the body. So it's, you know how hard it is when somebody tells you relax. Like, you just can't just relax, you know, it's like, what do you mean? I can't relax.
You do the opposite.
You do the opposite. So this just helps you to relax by doing a small activity. And if there's time, we could actually practice this so the listeners can practice on their own.
Let's do it right now.
All right, perfect. So first thing I will say, if you have heart disease, diabetes, or epilepsy, or very severe like COPD disorder, just listen. Listen, it's always ideal that you work with a Buteyko practitioner so that each individual receives customized care. But you can do this in your home. Don't do this while you're driving. but just sit in a chair, relaxed. You want to have a straight posture. Your diaphragm is open. You can stand up if you need to stand up. And a few things to remember. While we're breathing, the breaths are always gentle inhales and gentle exhales. Normal inhales, normal exhales. There's no exaggeration of your breath. You don't need to breathe big in order to do this exercise. In fact, you want to breathe less. So it's just gentle in and out through the nose. Take inventory of how you feel right now. Think about your body in the moment. Do you have a headache? Are your shoulders or your neck stressed or tense? Do you have any body pain? You know, any of those things, just take note of it. You don't need to do anything about it. Just take note, inventory of how you feel. because I want you to then take inventory when we're done and how you feel afterwards. And then if you feel dizzy or have any heart palpitations while doing this exercise, just stop and listen. Again, working with an instructor always helps us tailor the exercises to your individual needs. So we're just going to do 6 rounds. It doesn't take very long. You're just going to follow my voice and follow my instructions. I'm going to tell you to breathe in and breathe out, and I'm going to tell you to plug. When I say plug, you're just using your thumb and your forefinger to hold your nose closed. And the whole time, your lips stay closed. And again, you're only breathing in and out through your nose. So if we're all ready, in a straight, good posture, you're going to breathe in, breathe out, and plug for 4, 3, 2, 1. Let go and gently breathe, lips closed, gentle breathing. Relax the jaw. And then breathe in and breathe out and plug for 4, 3, 2, 1. And let go and gently breathe. Again, your tongue is gently resting at the roof of your mouth. Relax the shoulders and breathe in and breathe out and plug the nose for 4, 3, 2, 1. And let go, gently breathe. Unclench your teeth. Feel the gentle breath in and the gentle breath out. Breathe in, breathe out, and plug the nose for 4, 3, 2, 1. And let go. And gently breathe. Your lips are still closed. Your tongue is gently at the roof of the mouth. And breathe in and breathe out and plug the nose for 4, 3, 2, 1. And let go. And now just gently breathe and bring attention back to your body. And then take inventory of how you feel. Did you feel warmer, less stressed, decreased pain? And this is something that you can practice at home anytime you feel stressed or uncomfortable. Just do a few rounds of that, and that just calms the nervous system.
I feel relaxed. I feel ready for a nap. That was good.
I practiced this before we got on the podcast today.
Perfect. I like that. In between patients sometimes. Yeah. So that looks similar to Patrick McEwen's work in the Oxygen Advantage. 5 seconds in. I'm sorry. Breath hold for 5 seconds and then regain your breathing for 10 seconds, right?
Correct.
Similar. Okay.
That's exactly what I was doing. I wasn't counting the 10 seconds because for the listeners here, I wanted them to understand kind of what to do in those 10 seconds. But yes, I was doing 10 seconds in between.
But it totally helps listening to somebody else kind of talk you through it just to keep your focus. That was good. Mm-hmm. So next question, should we exhale through our nose or our mouth?
Great question. I remember working with a personal trainer when I first started the TACO training, and she would tell me, breathe. And I'd say, I am. No. Inhale through the nose and exhale through the mouth. And I'm like, no, that's not what I learned. that's not what I'm learning. And so I noticed that. So I was working with her before I started, you know, practicing the TACO and really learning about it. And I would always feel exhausted, you know, during my, and it was only a 30-minute session, 3 times a week for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I had to stop and use my inhaler, by the way, because at that time I still had my asthma. And when I started practicing, I made myself only, like you said, tape the mouth, only breathe through my nose while I was exercising. And it's funny, though I was training and learning, she says to me, Maria, you know, you haven't used your inhaler like the last few sessions. I was like, oh yeah, you're right. I haven't. And I didn't think twice about it. I had no idea why. I thought, I told her, I literally looked at her and I said, I think it's because you're not working me as hard. But anyway, to answer your question, I think I went off on a tangent there. To answer your question, the exhale should be through the nose and it should be gentle. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, as you increase your metabolic load, your breath will increase in volume, and that's normal and natural. Mm-hmm. But the idea with the Buteyko method is to really have that reduced, relaxed, breathe light to breathe right while at rest. You shouldn't hear it. You shouldn't feel it. And then as you increase your metabolic load, you should still be able to maintain nasal breathing. And then there's certain types of exercise or physical activity where you may need to breathe out through the mouth, but that's probably maybe another conversation.
Yeah. I'm reading the book right now by James Nestor.
Breath.
So he's got a whole chapter on exhale, and I don't know if he's an advocate of exhaling through the nose or the mouth, but definitely a longer exhale. Does that mm-hmm. make sense to you?
Yes. So I do work with my clients and I have them. So the exercise that we just did actually trains that without them thinking that we're training that. Because if I work with a client and I'll say, exhale longer and hold at the end of your exhale before your inhale, a lot of people feel a panic arise within them. And so the small breath hold really just helps to incorporate that without knowing that's what they're doing. So the exhale is a little longer than the inhale, and there should be a pause, just a natural pause before mm-hmm. inhaling again.
So that is getting rid of some stale air, right? In your lungs, probably exhale a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Then that first inhale is going to bring in more nitric oxide, which we talked
about. Nitric oxide. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what I was talking about. Yes, inhaling and exhaling through the nose, you're activating that nitric oxide. And by exhaling through the nose and then re-inhaling back through the nose, you're mm-hmm. optimizing that nitric oxide. You're able to utilize it better.
And the Bohr effect is taking place because you're driving carbon dioxide up, right, in your blood, which mm-hmm. is delivering oxygen better mm-hmm. to your brain and your tissues. Yeah, okay. That Correct. Makes sense. It's really, we overcomplicate it, I feel like. It's basic science, and it's two molecules. It's carbon dioxide and oxygen. Yeah.
Basic science, and yet, you know, that was for me, it was just so mind-blowing that mm-hmm. it's, and what I always wondered was, why didn't my physician tell me any of this for as sure. an asthma sufferer? Pulmonologists, allergists, physicians, you know, nobody. And I think that's what makes it difficult even for those of us who teach breathing. You know, clients have the same question. Well, how come my doctor's not telling me this? Mm-hmm. And I hope that one day they will.
Well, that's one group of patients, right? Asthma and allergies. I mean, you could talk mm-hmm. about, but what about anxiety too and mental health now with the pandemic, post-pandemic? I feel like you're going to be busy. But I don't think people are connecting the dots that and they need to start looking at the breath to bring them back into their flow state, if you will, their focus, their presence.
Absolutely. And the difference between the Buteyko method and other breath works such as yoga and, you know, different techniques there's nothing wrong with those. And I think there's a time and a place for that, but those are really designed for the moment. Mm-hmm. And so you can experience, you know, that calm and that rest and digest for the moment. But what happens when you go home? What happens when you've got the kids running around, or you're mm-hmm. at work and you're stressed with your coworkers and your boss? Mm-hmm. What happens when you're out for a walk or running up and down your stairs and you feel breathless, mm-hmm. right? You don't have time in your day to take out and practice this, you know, 1 hour of meditation and breathing. So with the Buteyko, what we're really doing is we're reestablishing functional breathing habits. We're reversing maladaptive breathing habits and reestablishing some new habits that will become innate and natural to you.
Fundamentals of breathing, basically.
Absolutely.
So what about left nostril versus right nostril? Do you practice alternate nostril breathing with your clients?
I do not. Most Buteyko practitioners do not. That is more pranayama breathing. And the reason why is because with Buteyko, so our bodies already alternate right and left nostril breathing. It just, we're created that way. Mm-hmm. And what Buteyko does is it reduces the amount of breathing to improve more functional breathing. And it allows for better utilization of the oxygen that's already in our blood. So again, that Bohr effect that we were talking about. And the left nostril and the right nostril, what you read is correct in that, you know, one drives the parasympathetic nervous system and one drives the sympathetic nervous system. And so in a moment, yes, you can absolutely practice one or the other, you know, to drive something if you want to, you know, I want to rest and digest and, you know, you can breathe through the one nostril, but we do not practice that. We do not teach that because if you have functional breathing naturally, you will be in your parasympathetic state. And because our body already alternates, it knows when to go into sympathetic. You know, we were designed to know when fight or flight was necessary. If we're being chased by a tiger, then we're going to get into that sympathetic nervous state, right? Mm-hmm. And we'll be able to function. But in today's society, our work is that lion chasing, that tiger chasing us. You know, being at home with our kids, the tiger's chasing us, you know?
Yeah.
So no, I don't teach that. Most of us don't teach that. We know what it is. And yes, there is science there. But again, if you just have well-established functional breathing, your body will naturally shift between the two as needed.
Gotcha. Now, any other actionable tips you could share with listeners to improve their breathing?
Well, the biggest one is be aware. Just bring an awareness to how you breathe. I, for one, that was the last thing on my mind. I never thought about it unless I was having an asthma attack. But I didn't think about how I was breathing. So bring awareness. Just think about in your life, while you're grocery shopping, while you're working, are you breathing? Are you holding your breath? Are you breathing big? Is your mouth slightly open? You know, do you struggle to breathe? You know, just really pay attention. And then ways to help you breathe better is have a good posture. As a chiropractor, I'm sure you're telling your clients all the time, sit up straight, shoulders back, you know. But a good posture is really important to the diaphragm. Your diaphragm drives your breathing. And if you're slouched, your diaphragm is squished. And so it can't move well. So good posture is critical. Keep your lips closed both day and night. Think about it. Are my lips open? Close them. And then breathe gentle and quiet. And then tongue just gently resting at the roof of the mouth.
I was just reading Oxygen Advantage on their Instagram account. Patrick was talking about, we tend to focus a lot on the biomechanics of breathing, which is important. There's like three prongs. I'm missing the third prong here, biomechanics, but he was thinking we need to look more at the biochemistry too. Like we forget about the biochemistry, and that's what functional breathing is really a lot about.
Correct.
Breathing less to balance out the CO2 and O2. What would the third one be? I forget. Biomechanics, biochemistry. He said it was like a stool with three legs.
It is. And because you're asking me, it's just not.
I know.
It's like.
It doesn't matter. But as a chiropractor, I talk posture and biomechanics all the time, but I try to blend in this biochemistry piece that is lacking.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I got a bunch of little questions here, kind of off script. ENT referral. I mean, do you recommend that every client sees an ENT first before you say, hey, you can tape your mouth shut when you sleep? I don't know if you recommend that or not, but.
So I do, and no, I don't refer to an ENT first. The reason why I don't refer first is because if you can breathe through your nose for 1 to 2 minutes, you can breathe through your nose.
Perfect.
Right. You just need to learn how to reduce the amount of breath that you're taking in and learn how to reestablish functional breathing. So it's not my first referral. The other reason why it's not the first referral is, unfortunately, many ENTs, again, don't understand reestablishing this kind of functional breathing. So their first defense is, do I need to do surgery? And if not, let's use a steroidal nasal spray. And I mean, not that, that's not necessary in some cases, but if you can naturally reestablish airflow through the nose through these breathing techniques and improve the production of nitric oxide, which again is a vasodilator, right? So your blood vessels dilate, your bronchial tubes dilate, and things can move the way that they're supposed to, then why use a medication if you don't need to?
It's kind of like an orthopedic surgeon in my field with back pain.
Yeah.
Every surgeon is different. Every ENT is different. I'm not saying they're all like that, but yeah, as a whole, I agree with that. So is it as simple as you have a client, you plug one nostril? Okay, you can breathe. You're a little plugged up on the left, right side's fine. Or do you just watch them breathe through their nose with their mouth shut? And if they can do so for a minute or two, they're good.
I do both. So I first see if they can breathe through their nose with both nostrils open for about 3 minutes. It's really 1 to 2 minutes. I like to see if they can make it to three. Then I'll have them plug one nostril and do it for a minute and plug the other and do it for a minute.
Gotcha.
Just so that I can see if there are restrictions where they are. And it helps the client also become more aware as they're going through the process.
Now, our airways, they're tiny to begin with. They're getting even smaller with our jaws collapsing, mouth breathing, et cetera. Is it the size of a straw? I heard that recently. A normal, healthy airway, about the size of a straw? Would you agree with that? Or is it bigger than that? Is it smaller than that? Don't know? Okay.
Not really, but...
It's not that big, though.
Yeah, it's not that big.
Okay.
It's not that big. But if you impinge on that, whatever it is that much smaller.
So what about mouth tape? Can we talk about that? I mean, you recommend it. Do you do it yourself?
I do mouth tape myself. I recommend it only after a few sessions with clients. And the reason being is there are so many factors that contribute to the way people breathe. One of them being emotional, trauma. Some people can't mouth tape, and it's not because of a breathing issue as much as it triggers maybe even a hidden trauma that they don't even know exists. So as I work with people, sometimes these emotions come out. That's why I was saying earlier, you know, what does the day look like? It depends on where the breath takes us. Mm-hmm. I was working with a client who realized all of a sudden why she had just restriction. She was too tight. She couldn't breathe, couldn't let her diaphragm go. And it stemmed all the way back from childhood and the way that her dad would yell at her. And so we just spent that day with her thinking about that moment and breathing through it, being in control of her breath and allowing herself to feel her breath as she was remembering this. Now, I'm not a psychologist, so I don't treat that part, but I recognize that the client is experiencing that and I help them just breathe through it.
So
mouth taping, yes, I recommend it. Do I just go throw a blanket out there and tell everybody to mouth tape? Absolutely.
Right. What kind of tape do you use and how do you tape?
I use two. I use MyoTape, which was actually developed by Patrick McEwen. Mm-hmm. You can find that on Amazon.
That goes around your lips, right? It doesn't cover your lips.
It goes around the lips. So okay. Your lips are still, you know, you can open them. I use 3M MicroPore tape myself personally. Mm-hmm. And I put that down. I just put that on my lips from the top to the bottom, just right in the center. When I first started Buteyko, I used to tape my whole lip, left to right, tape it up real good.
That's what I do. I go strip, and then I put I got a beard, so I put two anchors up here on my cheekbones.
Yeah. So I did that because it kept coming off, but that was because I was such a heavy mouth breather. But now that I nasal breathe, there are many times I don't tape because I really don't need to. But somehow I've developed some sort of like security. It feels good being there.
I look forward to it every night. I love it.
Yeah.
So I kiss my wife goodnight and then whoop, tape up. See ya.
Yeah.
So I found the third prong on the stool, biomechanics, biochemistry, and respiratory rate or cadence.
Well, the cadence breathing, yeah.
The cadence breathing, yeah. Okay. Okay, so those are my random questions at the end here. Let's talk about your business a little bit. So what conditions do you treat with patients?
Sure. So I don't treat conditions, or I don't treat or cure conditions. The body has the innate ability to do that all by itself when given the right tools. So I just give you the tools so that your body can heal. So I help build and support by teaching people to restore their breathing to more functional breathing. In turn, this engages your rest and digest, your parasympathetic nervous system, improves oxygen uptake, and brings more balance to the body. And when your cells, connective tissue, muscles, organs get the oxygen that it needs, guess what? It can heal.
Yeah, it thrives.
It can heal. It can heal all by itself. And so many clients from all over the world who work with Buteyko practitioners have reported improvements or even healing, partial or full healing, with various health issues and diseases even. There's a list of hundreds of things that people have reported healing in. But again, I don't treat or cure any disease or illness. The body can do it by itself. I just give you a tool in your tool belt to help you.
Now, what demographic do you treat? Do you work with elderly, athletes, kids, all the above?
Primarily, I can work with all of them. The majority of my clients are children that come from myofunctional therapists and dentists who recognize these children have airway issues. And then I work with adults, male and female, who have health issues. They come primarily because they have a health issue and they want to see improvements. Athletes are usually more the teenagers who come. And, you know, I have a 16-year-old boy who plays soccer. His mom sent him here because he was a mouth breather and allergies. But what drove him to actually practice and stay committed was I told him he'd get better in soccer. And I'll never forget the day he came. He was so excited. And he's like, "Maria, guess what?" And he's like, "I'm like, what?" And he's like, "I beat the one kid on my soccer team that always wins the sprints." I beat him. Yeah, he was so excited. He's like, I can run longer and faster because I'm not breathing through my mouth.
That's so cool.
And when it clicked for him that, you know, he didn't have to train harder to run faster, but just learn how to breathe, it was a game changer for him. He sees me all the time now.
Well, you changed his life. You helped him change his life. That's a life skill, proper breathing.
Yeah, yeah. I love that kid.
Any other success stories you'd like to share?
I have a couple. I have a woman who came to see me with a uterine prolapse. She wasn't sure, you know, if this was actually going to help specifically for that, but she did have other, you know, sinus issues, things like that. She was told by the surgeon she needed a hysterectomy. And after working with me for about a month, she came back. She's like, "Maria, guess what? Surgeon says it doesn't even look like I had prolapse." Again, because, you know, she's getting the oxygen she needs. The body mm-hmm. can start to heal. Mm-hmm. And then this one woman, I'm actually still working with her. We started in March, and she has chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, POTS, and just, you know, really not well. And when we first met, she just didn't smile. She barely had the energy to keep the appointments. But I'll never forget the day that she finally found her breath, her diaphragm just released, and she would just burst out laughing. And again, where does the breath take us? That day, no breathing exercises. We just laughed and laughed. And she was just so ecstatic. And she never had that kind of energy. She never had energy to laugh before.
Yeah.
And here we are today. Now, you know, we started in March, we're in May, and she every day it's just a new thing, a new thing, a new thing. Her husband got on Zoom one day and said, "I just want to thank you for giving me my wife back."
So
I mean,
cool.
She's talking so much now. She's laughing. She's singing. She used to sing and she stopped singing. She's picked up her guitar for the first time in, I think she said, 2 years. She warms my heart every time. So mm-hmm. it's just always something new that she's telling me.
Great stories. Thanks for sharing. Now, how can listeners connect with you online to hear more about your practice, ask questions, and or make an appointment?
Sure. I have a website. It's yourlivingbreath.com. And on there, you can click the link to schedule a complimentary 30-minute discovery session with me via Zoom. We'll, you know, I can assess you there. You can also call me at 202-780-6477.
All right, final question. If you have a friend coming to Rochester, although you're not living here anymore, you're from here, you're familiar with Rochester, who has never been here, where would you take them?
Sure. Well, my family's still there. So I'm partial to Canandaigua Lake, grew up there. But whenever I would have people visit me back home, I would always bring them to Wegmans. Okay. I mean, nobody has a Wegmans. So that was a field trip in and itself. Everybody loved Wegmans. But I love the Lilac Festival at Highland Park too. It's beautiful and a great place to go visit.
Great answer. Well, Maria, we just met, like I said earlier, I can tell that you're changing a lot of lives and you're passionate for what you do. So thank you.
Thank you for having me. I'm so pleased to be here with you.
The pleasure was all mine. I learned a lot. I took a lot of notes. So thanks again. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value from what Maria shared with us today, and we'll share this with family and friends. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me. Go to my website, DriscollChiropracticNY.com. Read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@DriscollChiropracticNY.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.